and welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch Pump, co-host Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
Oh, fantastic. Just had a wonderful vacation this weekend. I'm feeling rested, relaxed, hungover, feeling great.
Ready to go. Where were you vacationing?
Raleigh. You know, the hot spot.
The number one vacation destination in America.
Look.
Did you see the Capitol building?
Hey, don't shit on Raleigh's museums. We have some pretty fucking great
museums. Sure you do.
I went and played golf at the NC State campus golf course, which is extremely fancy, and is the only public course in America designed by Arnold Palmer.
Wow. Did you have an Arnold Palmer?
I did not have an Arnold Palmer because I'm sure they would have cost $15 to have one. So I used the free bottle, water fountains designed just to fill up water bottles.
You could have brought your own Arnold Palmer.
That's janky. When you show up to a golf course, especially a fancy golf course, because usually I play golf every week at like these, you know, kind of shitty rural courses where, yeah, they got a drink machine full of Gatorade and shitty beer.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, that's what they got. This place was like the kind of, like, if you showed up with like your homemade fucking juice cocktail, but you would, like, every 5 seconds somebody was walking up to you with a walkie-talkie asking you, "Hey, is your fourth person here yet?" Because you know your tea time's in 15 minutes. Is your fourth person here yet? You know, it was one of those where it was like very intense, making sure like the course was that everything was going to be going on time.
Speaking of intense, it's time to review or preview some college football.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We're getting closer to the college football season when every team is good and every team is just a couple of breaks away from the national championship.
Except these five we're talking about today. But we're doing our previews different this year. We're just going to look at the top 25. Look at five teams every week.
And one team that's not in the top 25. Let's do that. One team that's not in the top 25 that we think should be.
Okay.
Every week.
Okay. I don't know who's not in it, though. Hawaii should be in the top 25.
There you go.
It's Nebraska.
I just sprung this on you. This is a pre-show meeting that's happening on the air. But I think we should both pick one team every week that's not in the top 25.
Okay, Nebraska.
They're in the top 25.
Oh, they are. Okay. I've only seen... So, don't spoilers, Dan. We can only talk about 25 through 21.
So we're going to talk about the five teams each week and then add two teams that are not in the top 25 that we want to talk about.
All right. Well, let's
start... We are excited about.
Let's start with Hawaii's biggest rival, Boise State, number 25.
You laugh. That was a major rivalry in the last few years of the WAC.
Oh, I know. As a WAC historian.
I want to do I think we may have already done it, like, years ago when we were doing a lot of those theme episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I really want to do a thing on the history of the WAC's, like, super conference.
Need to just do a random episode where we just end up talking about that for an hour. Because if we plan it, it's not as good. It's a free-flowing, Bill Simmons-style conversation. What does this podcast say?
Well, he doesn't say that anymore. When he was at ESPN, it was like, this is a free-flowing conversation that may touch on adult themes.
By the way, did you hear the stuff from him this weekend? I don't listen to his show. This is on Twitter. Where he said, like, he's talking himself into the Lakers not being good. And it's like, buddy. They're gonna contend for the title.
It's his brand to shit on the Lakers.
But it's like, he's like, are they any better? These are just the Pelicans. And it's like, no, because the Pelicans didn't have LeBron James.
I mean, there is a scenario where that team turns out to not be good, and it's LeBron suddenly gets old and brittle and starts getting hurt constantly.
Well, I think that...
Because he's been playing pro basketball for a billion years.
Yeah. And he's really 40 years old. He's been lying about his age.
You know.
No, but I mean, I think the window for that Lakers team is, like, this season. Like, that's it.
I mean, unless LeBron is literally unprecedentedly durable in a way that no basketball player in the history of basketball ever has been.
But he's LeBron James, so he probably...
I mean, if anybody would be, it's him.
Well, and you remember, he's coming off a year where he wasn't in the playoffs for the first time in what? Since the
iPhone
came out?
Everybody's talking that up. The flip side of that is, oh, this may just be what happens to him every year now. He gets a really bad injury.
Well, now he's going to have to... Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, that is kind of a plus. Okay, he didn't have as many miles on him from last year. But it could also be, oh, he's just going to break down every year now.
Yeah.
Because he's old.
To be fair...
And that's what happens to old people. Yeah. They break down.
To be fair, though, that team, like... It wasn't just Tim Brady. It's like Lonzo got hurt around that time, and then all the trade stuff happened.
I mean, there is a pretty good argument that LeBron, maybe his injury wasn't as bad.
Yeah.
He just was like, this team fucking sucks. The trade got blown up. All of these young dudes now hate me because they think I was trying to get them all traded.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fucking rest up and say that I'm really hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, but Simmons, though. Total moron.
I mean, would you bet money that the Lakers are going to be better than the Clippers, though?
I would put money on the Lakers. I mean, we'll talk about when we do our NBA preview in like a month or two. Like, I think the Lakers will probably win the title. That's kind of where I am now.
I don't. I'm fully, like, it's going to be the Clippers.
Well, Clipper, I mean, you got a guy with injury problems and a guy coming off shoulder surgery. Double shoulder surgery for Paul George?
I mean, Kawhi is the guy of now. LeBron is the guy of yesteryear.
But...
I'm betting on Kawhi.
I think the Lakers get it done this year.
Plus that team is so much better. Like, okay, you can make an argument like 1-2. You know, the Lakers might have a little bit of a better 1-2 because, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis are both a lot better than Paul George.
But if, like, the Lakers add, like, Iguodala...
But they're not. Like, they're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to afford it.
No, he can sign for the minimum.
He won't sign for the minimum.
If the Grizzlies release him.
He's an old guy who's won... I mean, Andre Iguodala's an old guy who's won a lot of titles.
That's
why would he
beat
the veteran minimum?
Well, where else would he go? No one else has cap room.
Somebody will find... I mean, there's somebody who will offer him more than the veteran minimum.
You know, Dan, there's also, like, the thing no one's talking about where it's like, well, maybe Denver just takes the fucking leap and they win the title. It could be one of these young teams. It doesn't have to be a team for no.
They don't have the legs. They don't have the talent.
I mean, you got Portland.
I mean, Golden State is still around. But
yeah.
They're still going to have Steph.
And
Clay's going to be back by the playoffs.
Added, I don't know if we've done a show since then. Houston added Russell Westbrook.
Well, so they're fucked then. Like, you might as well just go ahead and write Houston off.
No, I think they're going to be a lot better with Russell. He's better than Chris Paul.
No, he isn't.
He literally is. He's won more MVPs.
The most meaningless thing in the world.
No, it's a very important award.
A popularity contest that gets swayed by a guy had a meaningless stat, and so we gave him the MVP.
Chris Paul's trash, dude.
He does not. I mean, he is a better fit to play with James Harden.
He's been to more. Westbrook's been to more NBA finals than Chris Paul.
Yeah, because Kevin Durant dragged his useless ass there.
Yeah, James Harden could get the one. He can't stay healthy.
James Harden is a shitty player too. Like all of the.
He's
like
not a shitty. Let's not do that.
You took the two biggest losers in the NBA and you've put them together.
Let's not do this. Like,
you will never win a team. You will never win a championship as an NBA team when your offense is one dude dribbling in a circle for 20 seconds and then doing something.
Let's not do like
that. Is shitty basketball.
No, I don't want to do like the nerd NBA Twitter guy thing where he's like, well, this guy's a shitty basketball player. Like, no, he's not a shitty basketball. He's not. We need to use better words.
He's a loser.
That's fine, but like he's not
always
a shitty basketball player.
He will never be anything but a loser.
But he's not a shitty basketball. Like, clear, if you're in the NBA, you're not shitty at basketball. sorry. You're not bad either.
If you've got to have somebody talk you into playing defense in the playoffs, and you've got to have somebody, like, explain to you slowly, you should probably pass the ball to other teammates when it's not an assist opportunity, then there's something fucking not wired with your basketball
IQ. See what happens with the Rockets. Because who would have said Toronto would have won the championship?
Well, Kawhi's always been a winner. Everywhere Kawhi's, like, anything Kawhi's ever done, he's been a winner.
Yeah.
When he was at San Diego State, like, a nothing program, they were like, they got like a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. San Antonio, he beat LeBron twice. You know, I mean, he's won everything he's ever done. He's a winner. He plays winning basketball. James Harden's a loser. Yeah.
But also...
Russell Westbrook's a loser.
But in the West, also, you have, like, Utah hanging around.
Utah is like the biggest clown fraud bum team in the NBA.
Listen, don't insult my boy Mike Conley. My close personal friend Mike Conley. You know, I met him when he was in high school. At a phone party... In Panama friend City of, Beach.
Friend of the show, Cameron Kleinert, has interviewed him.
There you go. See? The Mike Conley connection. He was at the phone party in Panama City Beach with Greg Oden. Mike Conley was just sitting at the bar, not drinking, just talking. And Greg Oden had 5 white women dancing on him at once. The big O. I think Greg Oden actually ended up having alcohol problems. So there you go. Thank you.
Well, he was in a lot of pain all the time.
And that's Boise State football. No, let's get back to Boise State.
But, you know, one last thing. Like, the Utah Jazz are the stereotypical team that plays really hard at defense when it doesn't matter. And so they end up with these great stats and this great win-loss record. And then the playoff starts, and everybody starts playing hard on defense. And suddenly you're like, oh, well, this team has nobody who can score points against a real NBA team.
And that was the issue with Donovan Mitchell. Last year. We'll see what happens.
This team is the Chicago Bulls under Tom Thibodeau.
But you know what else?
For some reason, they try super hard in the regular season, and they have nothing when actually important games start.
But also, you got, like, Portland, who can make some noise. Or maybe Minnesota figures it out this year.
Who's Minnesota's coach?
Flip Saunders' son.
Is it?
Yeah, he's really good. That's the guy who died. If Flip Saunders passed away, I think it's Ryan Saunders.
So they did fire Tom Thibodeau.
Oh, yeah. Thibodeau's been gone for a while. Like, he got fired mid-season or something.
Well, then they have a prayer.
And Saunders apparently is, like, a really... All the Minnesota people really like him.
But they that like also, but to be fair, Glenn Taylor, their owner, just hires dudes he's met.
Yes. Which A... We need to try to meet him and, like, get a job from him.
We could get that. I mean, we could get their GM job. Like, he gave the GM job to Kevin McHale because he was a famous basketball player from Minnesota. That's all it took.
My biggest issue with Minnesota is, like, you gotta move us to the East from going there. It's like,
let's pick this thing up. Let's either move it to Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the most logical team to move to Seattle because they wouldn't even have to change divisions.
Are the Clippers. No, I'm just kidding.
That's something like 19-year-old me thought really strongly.
Yeah, and now you're like, oh no, they're going to overtake the Lakers.
Well, little did I know at 19 when I was thinking that like the Lakers, it would turn out that Jeannie Buss is even dumber than her brother.
Yeah, and Steve Ballmer.
And it's just like, oh, the Lakers are just going to turn into the Washington Redskins of the NBA, where it's like, hey, remember that franchise? It was super well-run. And made a ton of money for a lot of years. Yeah, now they're just a bunch of fucking idiots that are just, they've got more money than God because it's America. And once you have a rich asset, you never
you know what they go are? Broke. They'll be the Cowboys.
Ooh, that's worse.
I mean, it makes
at
sense.
Least the red, at least Redskins fans, like, people feel sorry for them.
Yeah, but no one feels sorry for the Lakers. Like, they are the Cowboys.
Nobody ever feels sorry for the Cowboys fans.
Yeah. And Buss. Is like when Jerry Jones' shitty kid takes over. I like that. But Dan, let's switch over. Let's talk Boise State football. Is Boise State back? Is that the hot rumor of the year? That's what I keep hearing. What do you know about Boise State?
Well, the issue with Boise State is that last year, you know, the past few years, one of the things that's been holding them back is that San Diego State's really risen up in the Mountain West and has been a much stronger program. Last year, you know,
and Utah
San Diego
State. Correct? That's been pretty good.
Yeah, Utah State too. But really, it's been San Diego State who suddenly are like, oh, we've got a more talented team than you. We're not afraid of you.
Yeah.
San Diego State last year took a step back. You know, the offense just really could not get anything going. And so Boise was able to just kind of roar back into being, hey, we're Boise.
Yeah.
You know, look, you've seen Boise State play football. They're still Boise State.
Yeah.
Well, most of their team are are kids who would be playing in the Pac-12, but are academically ineligible.
Or too racist.
Or have significant, like, you know, background issues that have kept them away from other schools. They can, I mean, that is the Boise State. They are the Oakland Raiders of college football.
Well, okay. Well, let's look at the schedule really quick. First game at Florida State.
That is going to be a game where you're going to know something. I mean, week one, we're going to know
something. Is this our first year going to know something in the season, I think. We're going to learn a lot.
Like, that game, that is a game to circle. Like, you want to watch that game because if that game goes poorly, if Boise State just blows up Florida State, one, you're going to be penciling them in for, hey, this is a team that could get the January 1st bid from the non-Power 5.
Are they the UCF
kind of thing? And two, Willie Taggart that puts Willie Taggart on the hot seat.
He's probably fired if they lose that game.
No, I mean, you know, I always trust Bud Elliott, the founder of Tomahawk Nation, for anything that has to do with, like, what's going on with Florida State and their, like, what they're thinking. And what he's been saying is that when Willie Taggart was hired, he was going to be getting 4 years to turn it to win there. Last year was so bad that he now has 3 years. But he's going to get 3 years.
And then Boise State, not the hardest schedule after that. I don't think they play San Diego State.
They are in different divisions.
Okay, yeah, there's no cross division. You're going to run to Air Force. You're going to run.
If San Diego State, who's attempting to modernize a little bit on offense, San Diego State has kind of been Wisconsin West Coast the last few years, where it's just like a lot of I formation. Power football between the tackles. Last year was the first year where that really didn't work, and they're attempting to get a little bit more modern and up-tempo this year. If that's successful, like, that's who they'll be playing in the, you know, that's who they'll probably be facing in the Mountain West Championship.
They're also going at BYU.
That's not an easy, you know, that's not an easy ball game.
No. And then they host Hawaii. They get Wyoming at home, so that's kind of what you want.
And where are they playing Utah State? Because that's probably their toughest in-conference game.
They don't play them.
Yes, they do. They're in the same division.
Not according to the schedule.
They play. They're in the same division. They're in the Mountain.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They play 10 games, right? I mean, how many games do they play? Why doesn't the schedule scroll down?
Very professional podcast.
Yes. Well, I googled Boise State football schedule, so they might not even play FSU. Okay, they do. FSU, Marshall, Portland State, Air Force, UNLV, Hawaii, BYU, San Jose State, Wyoming. They're at Utah State, at Colorado State.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They're playing Utah State.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Well, just so they're at scroll Utah down, yeah.
Yeah, they're at Utah State. That's going to be probably their toughest game before the Florida State.
What about our boys Hawaii? Cole McDonald, dark horse Heisman contender.
Well, Utah State is probably the second best team in that conference, unless things really go south. I mean, Gary Anderson.
Or north for Hawaii. Don't sleep on who's coaching Hawaii, June Jones.
No, it's
Tommy Chong. Still?
It's Tommy. Nick Rolovich. Uh-huh. I mean, you're close. It was the guy who was the quarterback there before Timmy Chang.
Timmy Chang. Who is the guy they hired from USC? Old USC offensive coordinator.
Norm Chow.
Norm Chow.
Norm Chow is a guy where if he had gotten a head coaching job in 1998, would have probably been super successful.
Been the first
by the time he got a head coaching job, he was so old and past his prime that he was just like, this is a sick joke that this guy is now getting a job.
Do you think he was held back because he was Asian?
Is he Asian? I think he's Hawaiian.
Hawaiian. Polynesian.
But it cost him the BYU job, which he should have gotten back in the day. He was BYU's offensive coordinator when Lavelle Edwards, their longtime coach, retired. And they hired a white guy instead of him.
So, what do you think with Boise? You thinking, like, one, you think Boise can go undefeated? Let's do that.
I would be surprised if one of those Mountain West teams didn't get them.
Or BYU. Maybe FSU says, hey,
Florida State should beat them. Florida State should beat them.
Remember when Boise was doing neutral site games with Georgia? And now there's...
And Virginia Tech and... Yeah.
And now this.
But now they've got a brand.
Yeah. You know. There you go. Let's move on. 24, Northwestern.
This is the stupidest... Well, this is the second stupidest team in the top 25.
We'll get to that. Northwestern opens up the year at Stanford. Are these the two most annoying alumni bases in college football?
We'll see. Okay, Stanford is the more evil of the two universities.
Yeah, Tiger Woods went there.
Well, like, basically every shithead Republican went to Stanford.
Yeah.
For grad school.
John Elway.
At a minimum. Like, Josh Hawley.
Andrew Luck. What about Stephen Miller?
He went to Duke.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, of course he went to
Duke. By the way, like, did you see
every shithead right-wing dude either went to Duke, Chicago University, or Stanford.
Did you see that video of Daniel Jones, former Duke superstar quarterback, like past a training camp?
No.
He wasn't even throwing it away. He just badly missed a receiver where the ball just flew into the sidelines. And I'm sure he had good throws that day, but that was oh boy.
I mean, I would have said he was the ninth best quarterback in the ACC last year, and somehow he got drafted top 10.
I don't get it. You're like, well, we need to replace CeeLo. We'll just wait. There were no good quarterbacks in that draft, except maybe Kyler Murray will be, but I don't think so. I don't see how that works. He's 4'10".
All right, we've had it measured. He's 5'10". He's a normal sized man. Like, he's not.
He's a little person. He'll be one of the first little people to ever start.
He's a normal-sized man with giant hands. So, obviously, that means he's going to be the next Russell Wilson.
The next Alex Smith. The opposite. The antithesis of Alex Smith. Whose hands were too small to flush a football.
But who's 6'4". So he looks like a quarterback. And then you see his tiny little baby hands. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah. But Northwestern. Open up at Stanford, another team. Not very good anymore.
I mean, the big thing with Northwestern is last year they were a horseshoe team. Like, they were just lucky as hell. And, you know, the odds of them being able to have two seasons like that back-to-back are not very good. This is not a top 25 team.
No.
I'm just sorry.
And that's at Stanford. Then you get UNLV. Then you run into the heart, Hey, Michigan State, we'll get to that in a second. But then you're at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, Ohio State, Iowa, Indiana sucks, then you got Purdue, UMass, Minnesota, and you end the year versus Illinois.
I mean, they've got at least five losses on that schedule.
That's a murderer's row. Let's say Wisconsin figures it out.
That's probably the hardest schedule any team in the Big Ten West has.
Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State, Iowa. And then Indiana sucks, and then you get Purdue, who's a good team.
Well, I wouldn't say Indiana sucks. They had a really good defense
last
year.
That's right, yeah.
Like, that's a losable game.
Yeah. It's like Northwestern could easily have a losing record.
Like, you know, they're playing the two most talented teams in their division on the road. They're playing the most talented team in the conference. they're playing Stanford, you know, at a conference. Like, there's at least five losses on this schedule. This is psychotic for them to be ranked. Like, there's no reason to rank this team.
You know what, though? I could see, like, Northwestern beating Ohio State.
Well, that again, that will be something that tells us something about what Ohio State's going to look like.
But even if Urban was coaching that team, like, that feels like that. Didn't Ohio State have like a game every year where they like maybe squeaked it out and won against a bad team?
Or like they just laid like every year when they lost, they never lost to like the team that's equal in talent, like a Michigan.
No.
It was always like, oh, they lost to.
Did they lose to
6-6 Virginia Tech?
Did they almost lose to Indiana last year or something?
Purdue beat the shit out of them. Almost lose.
But didn't they lose to Indiana?
Beat them by like five touchdowns.
Didn't Indiana almost beat them too? Something weird?
Yeah.
They did. Indiana, like they went to OT and then they threw a pick or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Purdue beat them by like six touchdowns.
So, Northwestern, if you're a Northwestern fan, A, why you listen to this podcast? You should be doing your own because you're a journalist, probably.
Yeah, why haven't you filed your article with the AP yet?
Yes. And that's why Northwestern's ranked, by the way. Because every journalist went to Med Bowl, whatever it is. Medieval.
As a Medill grad, you know, every journalist who covers sports either went to Syracuse. Yeah, you either went to Syracuse, Northwestern, or Missouri. Or Florida. One of those four schools.
Yeah.
Or you're a former lawyer.
Speaking,
like, those are the only ways into sports writing.
Speaking of sports writing, let's jump to 2023. Missouri, the team without a conference. That's our joke this year.
Yeah,
Missouri's not the SEC. Sorry.
This is another one that's kind of bewildering to me. Like, what about Missouri's really got anybody excited?
Well, they got Kelly Bryant.
Okay. Are we sure he's good?
No. He was good.
Because, I mean, all I see in Kelly Bryant is a guy who lost his gig at Clemson. And, I mean, he put up some numbers on a really stacked offense that almost can drive itself.
Missouri's got a really strange out-of-conference schedule to start the year. They kick off the year at Wyoming. On the CBS Sports Network.
That's a game they could easily lose. Like, you're playing Craig Bowl, you know, up there in the mountains. Air's thin. They play a style of offense where they just like to hit you a lot.
Who is their quarterback? The Bills took him.
Oh, the racist guy, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Bring Josh Allen back.
I mean, if he does, Missouri's almost guaranteed to win, so...
I was going to say Brock Osweiler. He just sounds like a guy who would have gone to Wyoming. Like, just get him in.
Brock Osweiler was the smartest quarterback in college football because he went to Arizona State.
Of course.
Like, the 6'10" guy who plays quarterback went to the school where everyone's constantly fucking.
Which is amazing that Arizona State produces, like, zero NFL talent besides, like, Gronk.
He didn't go to Arizona State. He went to Arizona.
Okay, there you go. Arizona State.
Have you forgotten about the greatest NFL player of all time, Pat Tillman?
Or killed by the troops.
Murdered for truth.
Next up, they host West Virginia, who should clobber them.
Oof. No, I don't know about that. West Virginia.
Virginia's
going through their own changes.
That's right. Then you get the powerhouse that is Southeast Missouri State.
No, that's a win, obviously.
Versus Carolina, versus Troy. They're
playing UNC.
They've got
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Okay.
They've got
the fake the team that's not actually Carolina.
They've got like their home schedule is not awful. Consider, like, you get Ole Miss in there, which is probably easier to win at home, maybe. You get South Carolina. You're at Vandy, at Kentucky, at Georgia. That's probably when Mizzou's season unravels right here. Because then you get Florida and Tennessee after that.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure how tough Kentucky's going to be this year. They're rebuilding.
Yeah. You know,
they lost all the talent off of that team that went so far. So I would be kind of surprised if, you know, Missouri can't get up and get them.
But they're not going to win at Georgia. They're not going to win hosting Florida. They're not going to win hosting Tennessee.
It'd be super fun. Why are you so into Tennessee? Missouri could easily just
land back. I feel like Tennessee
sucks.
Tennessee's the new Texas. It's like, they're back.
What about Tennessee's any good? They got a short dick coach.
They've got offense.
They did not hire an offensive coordinator until, like, the day after signing day.
Who's their offensive coordinator again? They stole Georgia's guy, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, they did. Couldn't
they hired a guy that Georgia was going to fire.
Yeah. But they've got a Coach A who recruited an offensive lineman, so that's an improvement over previous years, and one who hasn't divided the entire locker room right away.
That still don't mean he's any good.
It feels like Tennessee. We can talk about it. I think Tennessee is going to win like 7 games. I got to see the schedule.
I don't think one of those is going to be Missouri.
I think they'll beat Missouri.
They'll beat Kentucky. They'll beat Vanderbilt.
Who, Missouri?
Tennessee? No, Tennessee.
Oh, we just talked about Tennessee. Let's talk about a real SEC team. Let me look up Tennessee's schedule. Sorry, Missouri. I don't really care about you. I don't even think you can go to a bowl. I think you're ineligible. Is Tennessee ranked?
No!
Okay. Well,
why would they be? They stink!
Didn't they go to a bowl last year? No, they won 5 games. That's right.
They stunk.
They didn't stink. They beat Auburn!
They stunk!
How could they stink? They beat the powerhouse that was the 2018 Auburn football team.
They're a stinky, stinky team. That
you beat Washington.
Stinky. Hmm.
Pac-12 champion. Tennessee, Georgia State, BYU, UT Chattanooga, at Florida versus Georgia versus Mississippi State, at Bama versus South Carolina versus UAB, at Kentucky, at Mizzou. They can win a lot of these. Let's go through this with Tennessee. Tennessee can beat Georgia State.
Okay, win.
BYU.
Probably a win.
UT Chattanooga.
Win.
He's a pretty good FCS team or whatever. Whatever.
So you're 3-0.
At Florida, probably not.
Loss.
Versus Georgia.
Loss.
Versus Mississippi State. That's
probably
four.
A win.
Four.
That's a toss. That's a toss up.
But still, it could be four. At Bama.
Loss.
Maybe.
Loss.
They're due.
I don't think that's how it works.
That's what Kentucky was saying for like 40 years against Florida. They can beat South Carolina.
I'm not betting on it.
They can beat UAB.
Okay, that's their fifth win. That's their fifth one that's a definite win.
They can beat Kentucky, and they can beat Missouri. They can beat Vandy.
Yeah, I mean, there's 7 real wins.
7 wins!
Schedule.
There's potential 7 wins for Tennessee. That's their best season in like a decade.
I'm not sure a decade. Butch Jones won like 9 games.
Oh, did he?
A couple times. Yeah.
Well, I think...
like Butch Jones's problem is like at every point where it looked like it was time for them to like... He made them immediately decent. Then they got like 1 win better for like 2 or 3 years after that. And then at the point where it's like, all right, it's time for you to be in contention, they just never were.
What? I like Tennessee to win 7 games this year. They seem like a Belk Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry.
But like,
my autoplay. It's very good.
But like, let's say they win 7 games, they will lose to Missouri.
Take it. I mean, that might be our bet this year. So I'm kind of tired of beating you on Ohio State, Michigan. Which I've been right about. How many, like, 3 years?
Well, look, this year it's finally, like this is when Ohio State gets Florida'd, and the assistant coach hired that looks so great on paper turns out to be terrible, and the rot of the way Urban Meyer has left the team completely fucks
him
over.
What about Florida didn't hire an assistant coach from there? Who replaced
Will Muschamp. Will Muschamp had never been a head coach before.
Oh, that's right.
But everybody thought there's no way this guy won't be successful. Like, everybody, like, every writer, every athletic director.
It feels like, though, they hired the, I just blanked on his name. Who's their coach now?
the Dan Mullen.
Damn, it feels like they hired the Dan Mullen from this Ohio State squad.
Well,
or like Charlie.
I mean, he is more, or like, yeah, like Florida had two good assistants they could have hired, and they didn't.
They didn't. It feels like Ohio State.
They hired a guy from outside.
Feels like Ohio State.
But the reason why they hired a guy from outside is because they did not want anybody associated with that program to be back in charge because it was being run like a clown show. Yeah. I mean, they literally like had a dude on his campus who murdered multiple people.
So, Missouri football. It don't really matter. Sorry.
Look, here's the thing that I always come back to with Missouri. Their offensive coordinator is Derek Dooley. How good can they really be?
The man who kind of put Tennessee in this downward spiral.
I think Derek Dooley gets too much shit for that.
He didn't recruit an offensive lineman 1 year. Not a single one. That's bad coaching.
Lane Kiffin is the guy who deserves the Kiffin, shit.
But Lane Kiffin burned the house down. Dooley tried to, like, rebuild it with glue and sticks or something.
I mean, the reality is Derek Dooley's first recruiting class was always going to be fucked because of the way Lane Kiffin left.
Like that. But this is like a year or two into his tenure he didn't recruit an offensive line.
Well, okay. Here's
the thing. How do you not get a single lineman?
Because nobody believed he was going to be successful. Here was the thing.
You could get one.
Here was the thing. No, because linemen don't care. Like, linemen is the position where if they don't think this team can win, that's the position you're fucked at. Because they don't go, oh, I can be a wide receiver. I can be a quarterback.
You could get one.
If you're willing to take a guy who's going to be shitty.
Sure. It's better than nothing.
Is it?
Yes.
Look.
You're telling me you couldn't get a guy with a UT Chattanooga or something instead?
Look, here's the thing that... I mean...
Or Bandy?
Lane Kiffin, the way he left that job, irreparably fucked Tennessee. Where no matter who they hired, it was going to be a bad situation. Nobody wanted that job, and Derek Dooley, who was not qualified to be an SEC coach, took it because, well, fuck me, how can I turn down an SEC job?
Yeah.
And so he took an impossible job that anybody who would have taken it would have failed at. And so I just have a hard time being really hard on a guy who took a no-win job.
But...
took a job that you could not succeed at, and he didn't succeed.
But this is the guy who also...
Everybody else who would have taken that job would have failed.
He wouldn't have gotten an opportunity, though, if he didn't have a famous last name.
It did. That did help. Yes. It absolutely helped. But... he wouldn't have got, like, even with his name, if Lane Kiffin would have left Tennessee 5 months earlier, like, if he had announced he was leaving, like, in November, Tennessee could have hired, would not have even looked at Derek Dooley's resume.
No. I mean, because is this around Charlie Strong time?
Yeah. I mean, they would have. I mean, Charlie Strong was at the time a very good coordinator and had been a very good coordinator in the SEC for a long time.
I've always liked the idea of Charlie Strong at Tennessee. It's kind of too late now.
Well, he ended up being successful in basically like Tennessee Junior, like Tennessee
Texas?
AAA.
Texas? Louisville. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Because like it's the same geographic footprint, basically. It's the same, like, how do you recruit to this place? Like, you know, if you can succeed at Louisville, it's like, well, you got a pretty good, like, you know what it takes to win at Tennessee.
So let's move on from Missouri. And let's talk Michigan State.
This is the craziest team to be on this list. I would be shocked. I would be legitimately shocked if Michigan State won more than six games.
Well, let's go through the schedule. They open up versus Tulsa.
Win.
Western Michigan.
Probably a win.
Arizona State.
Loss.
Yes. Our boy Herm Edwards.
Like, that is going to be two teams just taking rocks and slamming them into each other. And who do you believe is going to win that rock fight? It's going to be fucking crazy Herm Edwards.
That's going to be a night game on Fox, probably. That game's going to roll. That's week three.
It's gonna be like 6 to 5.
No, it's at 4 p.m. Sorry. let's see. They're at Northwestern.
Where's that game at? Where's that game going to be at?
East Lansing.
All right. Michigan, that should be a neutral site. I switch. Michigan State's going to win that game.
Let's see. At Northwestern.
Loss.
Versus Indiana.
Probably a win.
And then here it comes. At Ohio State. At Wisconsin.
Loss.
Versus Penn State.
Loss.
Versus Illinois.
Win.
At Michigan. Loss.
Loss.
At Rutgers.
Win.
Versus Maryland. Not the hardest schedule, though. Besides the hardest. I could see them getting six games.
Who did Maryland win, hire at the end of the day?
I have no idea.
Golly, who did Maryland hire?
Hannibal Lecter.
Look, they can't get any more. I mean, you know.
Charles Manson. No, Jerry Sandusky. He's gonna coach the
they
team.
I mean, it's been forgotten by time, but Virginia almost did hire Jerry Sandusky in 1998. And then, at the last possible minute, withdrew their offer. And, you know, to me, that's one of the unresearched things.
Where did
college football is like, why did Virginia suddenly pull their coaching offer away from Jerry Sandusky?
Where did Epstein go to school?
NYU, I think. Can I give you my Epstein hot take?
What's that?
We're going to find out he was also, like, his whole finance thing was a scam.
Oh, sure.
But everything about the way it's being described just screams scam.
Do you think that was a hit on him in the jail?
Absolutely.
I agree. Because that cop was from, like, a very wealthy area.
He was from Westchester, wasn't he?
Yeah, where, like, the Vanderbilts and all those names you always hear in conspiracy theories are from. I buy into this. The Epstein thing, like, Pizzagate was right.
If you've ever followed, like, all this shit, like, back in the 80s, there was a massive scandal where it turned out, like, most of the Tory party's, like, bigwigs were all pedophiles.
Yeah.
And they weren't using fucking code. They just would write letters to each other talking about fucking kids.
Yeah. Like, essentially they got caught from, like, leaving the door open. That's how dumb. Like, it was...
Like, when you're that rich and that wealthy and that powerful, they're not sitting around like mob bosses, like, worrying about being bugged by the FBI.
They're like...
They know they won't be.
Yeah, it's like an SEC school.
They just do what they want to do.
Yeah.
But people want to believe that even the evil people in the world are having to do it in secret because somebody out there might stop them. Because they want to believe there's somebody out there going to stop evil. And there isn't. No. There's nothing. Nobody's going to stop anybody.
Except they're going to stop Michigan State.
Speaking of horrible sexual abuse, State.
Well, the Big Ten.
But Michigan State especially. Like, they got multiple rapists on their team.
But look who they run into. They play Ohio State, who had a coach who's molesting people, or trainer. Penn State, the king.
They had an assistant coach who was...
beat his wife.
Who's beating his wife and bringing porn to work.
And then you got
They had Penn a wrestling State. Coach who was molesting the wrestlers.
Penn State, which we all know.
While a sitting congressman covered it up.
And then, who knows what was going on, like, at Illinois or Purdue?
I mean, lots of not winning.
Hey, you know what? Sure. And Iowa's got that children's hospital right next to their stadium.
Little food for thought. I bet they serve pizza there.
Just a little food for thought. Any last thoughts on Michigan State?
They stink! I mean, this is the number one thing I want to talk about. Their offense was ranked in the 100s last year. Do you know what they did to fix this offense?
Nothing.
They changed every offensive coach's job.
They didn't fire anybody.
They didn't bring in any new coaches. They just changed everybody's job. And you want to know why? There's a two-part reason. One of it is that just, you know, that you got an old, I mean, one, this is a very old coaching staff. There's not a lot of new blood on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why their recruiting has been so bad, why, frankly, they weren't able to take advantage when Michigan State did have a really good team. They weren't really able to take advantage of it and recruit any better because, you know, they just did not have enough youth on the coaching staff to really have the young coaches who will get out there and bust their ass to try to make sure that you get the top recruiting class. They just didn't have those guys on staff. So their recruiting, their coaching staff is just really old, so they suck at recruiting. And look, you can say what you want to. The reason why he hasn't let any of these guys go is because they all know all the crazy shit they've done in the past with guys who should not have been allowed on campus. And so it's like a Joe Pa thing where it's like we've all got to, everybody here has to stick together because I can't afford to fire a guy and then him go to the media and admit what we've been doing. Like, so we just have to stick with this shitty coaching staff because everybody on it knows, you know, where all the bodies are buried.
They know where to get the pizza.
You know, it's just, it's an incompetent, elderly coaching staff where, like, offense has so passed Michigan State by that it's like, how are they going to score any points on any team that's even remotely good? How is this team scoring on Don Brown's defense? Like, I just want somebody to answer me that question. How does this team score a touchdown on Don Brown? Because last year's Michigan game, they scored on the first drive with a scripted drive, and then as soon as, like, the script was over and Don Brown adjusted to what they were doing, they were fucked. They didn't have that. They didn't cross the 50 for the rest of the game. So, I mean, Michigan State needs to be preparing themselves to move on.
Yeah, and most boring team in college football, maybe, Michigan State.
I mean, definitely the most aesthetically, you know, displeasing.
But here's one who could rival them. Number 21, Virginia Tech.
Okay, so when they hired Justin Fuente, it seemed like the single most slam dunk, no-brainer hire in the history of college football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about the guy who finally unlocked Memphis's potential as a football program. You know, the Memphis is still winning in the American Conference level.
Yeah,
based on what he built there.
Yeah.
Proved he could find quarterback talent and develop it. What has gone wrong there? Why are they not successful? And the thing that comes back to me is the thing that we all thought was the one thing that we thought was going to be the, you know, oh man, they did this. They're definitely going to be successful is actually what screwed them. They should have never kept Bud Foster.
Wait, was Virginia Tech the team with the announcer? Which ACC team had the announcer that was selling, like, team secrets or something?
That was Wake Forest.
Wake Forest, sorry.
Wakey Leaks.
Yeah.
But,
well, let's look at Virginia Tech.
I mean, I just have a really tough time not thinking that the big problem there is he kept Bud Foster from Frank Beamer's coaching staff, and Bud Foster's one of the greatest defensive coordinators in the history of college football. But it caused him to be unable to build his own program there.
Yeah.
It's like this weird bifurcated, you know, it's kind of Justin Fuente's program, but it's also kind of Frank Beamer's program still. And, you know, his identity as a coach at Memphis was high-octane offense. Obviously, Virginia Tech's under Frank Beamer. It was always built around the defense. And they're just not – they're, you know, Beamer wants – or, you know, Bud wants them to play at a slower pace, give his defense a chance to make plays. Fuente's offense is a up-tempo, pass-heavy offense. It just feels like they're trying to marry two systems together that don't, that aren't compatible.
Yeah.
And for, you know, and it's just not going to work. Either they need to make a decision as a program, as an athletic department. Is this going to be Justin Fuente's Virginia Tech, or are we going to try to keep the Frank Beamer thing going? And they need to make that decision. And if their decision is we want to keep Frank Beamer, his legacy going, they need to fire Justin Fuente and make Bud Foster the head coach.
You remember like the kind of back to our SEC history thing? Remember like Alabama's issues where like they had to have someone associated with Bear Bryant? Remember right. that?
For 20 years after Bear Bryant died.
Kind of feels like that. Every coach who
came there had to have played for Alabama or for Bear Bryant.
It kind of feels like a weird version of that, where it's like, we gotta hang on to, like, our one successful guy ever. And it's like, do we have to? Like, this guy built something, let's go build on top of it. Instead of trying to, like, build more of it.
Let's knock it down and
build something else on the foundation he built.
I get that, like, if you know, Frank Beamer was such a great coach for them, and he built that program from scratch, why didn't you just hire Bud Foster, his right-hand man for all those years? Like, if that's what you believed that was important, if you believed it was important to maintain some semblance of the Frank Beamer years, why wouldn't you just hire Bud?
Well, but let's see if Virginia Tech can bounce back this year. Let's look at the schedule.
They've lost so many players off the team. Like, they've had so many transfers. It's just extremely clear that, like, this attempt to maintain what they had has just not worked.
Well, and because
the players are telling you that this isn't Frank
Beamer. No, and look at how Virginia Tech. Look how Virginia's doing. You know, where some people are like, oh, they hired the guy who failed at BYU, da 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 da.
He didn't fail BYU. He's the best BYU coach. And I mean, you know, Lavelle Edwards won a national championship in a different era of football. Bronco Mendenhall won 10 games or
more. Okay, not a failure, but they hired him like the weird
6 straight years.
It wasn't like the sexiest hire, though, correct?
Maybe I wouldn't say that. I would say it was the sexy. I mean, it was out of nowhere. Oh, man, you know, maybe that won't work out, but that's the absolute biggest but you would hire have thought Virginia has ever made.
But you would have thought Justin Fuentes was the better hire, right? You would, if you looked at this, you'd say,
I would see when at both the of time, those hires were made at the time, I said these two teams made the two best hires, but Virginia Tech is a better job. So I think this might, you know, a different. And they both made the two biggest home run hires in the ACC.
But now Virginia. Kind of a level ahead, Virginia Tech. Maybe a tier above.
I mean, they're definitely, you know, Virginia Tech, for one, Virginia Tech keeps beating them. So the streak of Virginia Tech winning the actual Commonwealth Cup, it hasn't ended. But in everything except when they actually play against each other, Virginia Tech has trended down and Virginia has trended up.
By the way,
people and it's forget not this, hard man. To. And it's not hard to see that at some point those teams are probably going to change positions.
Yeah, and people forget this, Dan. Virginia is not a state; it's a commonwealth.
One of three commonwealths in America.
Texas.
Can you name the other two commonwealths?
No. Pennsylvania.
No.
Dutchland.
Massachusetts.
Oh, that makes sense.
And Kentucky.
Huh. Okay, yeah. What is Texas is a republic still or something, right?
I don't think. I mean, they were a republic. I don't think they've been a republic since they joined the country.
I thought they got to keep that designation or something weird. Anyway, let's look at the Virginia Tech schedule. You're going to open the year at Boston College.
I mean, that should be a win.
That could be one of Boston College's 7 or 4 wins. You never know.
I mean, if you lose that game, you already know you're in bad shape.
But then you run into Old Dominion, who beat a...
I mean, Old Dominion beat them last year.
Yeah. Then you get Furman.
Okay, if you lose to Furman, you're in trouble.
And then you get Duke. By the way, the Furman game and the Boston College game will be on the all-new ACC Network.
What is that actually going to be?
Have they announced that yet? I think it's just a page on the ESPN app, I think.
Because if it's just going to be a thing on ESPN Plus, then, oh my God, why are you bragging about this?
Then they play Duke.
That should be a win, but, you know, Duke can be frisky.
Then you're at Miami.
Again, you know, I mean, Miami is a very talented team. You know, they're changed. I mean, his idiot son is no longer incompetently trying to run the offense. So that's
We got Cristobal, right?
No, Cristobal stayed at Oregon. They hired Manny Diaz.
That's right.
Who had left to go be the Temple head coach for 2 weeks, and then Mark Richt quit, and so they hired him back.
That's right.
And Temple was just sitting there going, shit, we thought we had a really good head coach for like a week or so.
Then Virginia Tech plays Rhode Island.
Again, you should win that game.
Yeah, how do you know Rhode Island had a football team? How do you know Rhode Island had enough people in it? The field of football team.
All the New England state schools have a football team, and it's actually why UConn should drop back down to FCS football and play all those teams again, because UConn used to be in a football league with all of those schools.
But then they play, then they move to North Carolina.
You know, North Carolina's, you know, they're my wild card team I want to talk about this week.
At Notre Dame.
So we'll talk about them in a second.
At Notre Dame, should be a loss. Versus Wake. At Tech. Versus
should be a
Pitt,
win.
At Virginia. I mean, Virginia Tech, if it all goes right, win like 10 games. They don't play.
But nothing's gone right for them since they've had Fuente.
Nothing
has gone the way it's supposed to.
So this could be like a 5-win team.
Yeah.
But you're playing. You got.
I mean, if they go 5-7, Fuente's fired.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to your wild card team. Your beloved.
Yeah, the UNC Tar Heels, the return of the Mac. Everyone's going to be playing that song at every UNC game, coming in and out of commercial. I'm kind of fascinated. Obviously, what happened with Larry Fedora was the classic Glenn Mason territory. Like Bill Connolly has what he always calls Glenn Mason territory. And like 10 years ago, Glenn Mason was the head coach at Minnesota. And he was more successful at Minnesota than any football coach had been in 20 years. But he never could get over the hump and actually win the league. They would always lose to Wisconsin, or they would come up short in a big game where it was like, oh, this is our chance to break through. And eventually Minnesota got tired of it and they fired him.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Fedora, you know, had a lot of success at UNC at a time where it was really hard because they had all that NCAA stuff lingering over them. Like every year, you know, is this the year the NCAA drops the hammer on UNC? So it really fucked their recruiting for years. And then, you know, eventually he was a guy who kind of sniffed around for a lot of jobs, never got any. And then eventually, like, years of their recruiting being stagnant, you know, eventually took its toll, and their teams just flatlined. And he stopped being – I mean, basically, by the end there, Larry Fedora was unable to recruit anybody who wasn't a wide receiver. Like, they just weren't interested in coming to UNC. The defense became, like, a yearly tire fire, and his recruiting was just really, really subpar. Mac Brown – has had the ear of their athletic department for a long time. There was at one point talk of Mac Brown being hired as the athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
He got that, you know, he went, you know, basically went and snaked the job away from Fedora by basically going around to all the boosters and lining up, you know, support to pay off, you know, to pay Fedora's buyout and get him hired. So, I mean, Mac Brown is still the political operative. He always has been.
Mm-hmm.
But he's made two really interesting coaching hires. He hired Phil Longo from Ole Miss, their offensive coordinator. You know, so if you've seen Ole Miss the past few years, you know, you've seen Phil Longo's handiwork. Longo before that was the offensive coordinator at Sam Houston State before he was at Ole Miss. A very up-tempo, pass-heavy spread offense. They almost, like, you know, if you watched Ole Miss the last few years, basically the only time they ran the ball, it was an RPO. Like, they had very few, like, designed runs. It was almost always an RPO. So very RPO-heavy offense, trying to make things simple for the quarterback. You know, a lot of really simple one-read-and-go, high tempo, you know, tempo to mask how simple the offense is.
And I think, this is underrated too when you're recruiting, a fun offense for a quarterback, right?
It is throwing a lot offense for a quarterback.
But you throw a lot. I think quarterbacks like
you
that.
Throw a lot, but if you're a guy who's looking to be in the NFL one day, maybe, you know, I mean, that was one of the things that Shea Patterson wanted to get out of Ole Miss and wanted to go to Michigan is because he thought, this offense is not preparing me for the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be ready. So it does have that drawback. Like, you're not, you know, the guys who are really gung-ho about being in the NFL aren't necessarily going to be looking for UNC, but who's Mac Brown's two best quarterbacks of all time?
Colt McCoy
and Vince Young. Like two guys who didn't make it in the NFL, so, you know.
Yeah.
And then his defensive coordinator hire, but his defensive coordinator hire was Jay Bateman, who has been the defensive coordinator at Army. So they basically hired, like, the two nerd coaches that everybody's been excited about. Because Army's defense, I obviously you're at Army, you have no talent.
Well, but their defense you have the most talent. You have the troops.
Right. Well, you have the most heart, but you have the least talent.
The least amount of brain.
Yeah, like, you know, lots of heart, barely functioning brains.
Yeah.
Because
they're in the Army. They're good, they'd be at Air Force.
Yeah, if they were smart, they'd join the Navy or the Air Force. If they had common sense, they'd join the Navy, because when's the last time our Navy had to do anything?
Yeah.
That's if the they're one. Smart, they'd join the Air Force.
Yeah. By the way, kids, if you're listening, you're thinking, hey, I got to go to the Army, get out of poverty, join the Navy.
Always join the Navy.
What are they doing? Not if we go to war with Iran, actually. Don't join.
Okay, yeah, if we go to a war with Iran, you're fucked.
Yeah, don't join anything. Maybe join the Taliban. Who fight
but
for Iran.
In general, over the last 50 years, ever since Vietnam ended, the most dangerous thing you'll have to face in the Navy is that you'll catch the new STD before anybody's got a drug for it.
My friend who joined the Navy, and he developed vertigo under the submarine.
That's not great. My college roommate, who failed out of college, joined the Navy.
Mm.
And he just sits in an office all day reading intelligence and then just marking, oh, this looks like something.
The dream. Like Max Smart from the hit movie Get Smart.
Sure.
Starring the great colleague. Let's look at UNC schedule.
But no, but Jay Bateman, I do want to say this about Jay Bateman.
Okay.
And his defensive, like what Jay Bateman does as a defensive coach. Because what Jay Bateman does as a defensive coach, he's very, very interesting. He almost never blitzes, but you almost never know who the four guys rushing are.
Ooh.
He'll rush both corners and the safeties and then drop the entire defensive line and the entire linebacking core. And so the four guys rushing are all cornerbacks.
So if you're a defensive player, you kind of want to play in that system. That sounds fun.
It's almost the opposite of Phil Longo, where Longo's offense is really, really simple and basic and almost too basic. But if you're a certain kind of player, you know, it's like, oh, I can just be talented in this.
Yeah.
UNC's defense is going to be super fucking complicated because, I mean, just imagine how do you coach a defense?
But
where
if you're
sometimes
a guy,
your zones have to be like, filled by defensive linemen.
Yeah, but if you're a defensive lineman or whatever, you kind of want to go play there. It's like, well, I get the pass cover. That's fun.
I don't know how many defensive linemen are like,
a lot of them,
sometimes I won't. I won't be rushing the quarterback like 40% of the time.
I think defensive ends are like that, actually. And UNC's been pretty okay. And they got one defensive end that was pretty good before.
And then on top of all that, Mack Brown is, you know, I mean, he's already signing a very good class for next year. So, I mean, he's still, you know, he's still Mr. February.
Well, let's look at their schedule real quick. Open up South Carolina.
Winnable? Any game against Will Muschamp is winnable.
And that game's in Charlotte, by the way.
That's a good place to put that game.
Mm-hmm. Then they host Miami. Winnable.
Winnable.
At Wake.
Winnable.
Versus App State.
Should win it. I mean, Appalachian State lost their head coach, so they're going to be going through a train to Sion.
They host Clemson. And according to their schedule...
They're not beating Clemson.
According to the schedule, this is Rams Club Day. So...
Rams Club is like... do you have that where, like, the alumni... That's the alumni group.
I'm sure
my schools do.
But I went to like a small school in Milledgeville, Georgia, so it's like, I don't have as much of an alumni.
I mean, at NC State, it's the Wolfpack Club. At UNC, it's the Rams Club.
Yeah, I'm sure Georgia's the Dog Club. At Alabama, it's the Elephant Club?
You know, the Rammer Jammer Club.
What's it at Ole Miss? The Shooting the Emmett Till Sign Club? Folks,
why do we still allow fraternities in 2019, club?
Oh boy. And then they're at Georgia Tech, at Virginia. Georgia Tech could be
Georgia Tech. They should Georgia Tech should be a like Georgia Tech should be like the 3-9 team where you're like, okay, but they're building for next year.
Yeah, and they're gonna.
But if Georgia Tech wins more than 5 games. That is a fabulous season
for them. I think Tech's going to have like a good signature win for them. Who's the coach? Is the old Temple coach, right?
Yeah, DJ or not DJ Durkin.
DJ, our boy, friend of the show. DJ.
Another former Florida defensive coordinator, Jeff Collins.
Yes. Who I love that hire for Tech, by the way.
It's a great hire, but this year is their
no. Favorite. But he's got to have like I think. Tech's, we can talk about this later, but I think Tech needs one kind of big win. Just so we can sell our recruits. Like, hey,
well, Tech's a pretty patient program, just in general.
Well, I mean, just to like sell not recruits. I think they need that.
Yeah, I mean, if they could get, like, one big win.
Or almost beat Clemson.
That'd be good.
If they could get past Syracuse.
Or, yeah, if they just play, I mean, even if they lost to, I mean, even if they lose to both Clemson and Georgia, if both of the games aren't blowouts, that's a win.
Yeah, because remember, like, when Syracuse beat Clemson, but even, like, just playing with them probably helped Syracuse football a ton last year. Anyway, at Virginia Tech versus Duke, homecoming and monogram day at Chapel Hill.
That's when you can tell UNC is, like, a rich kid school, when it's, like, monogram day.
Then they play Virginia Military Appreciation Day.
I don't know. He ain't beating Bronco. Yeah, he's not beating Bronco.
Then they're at Pitt on a Thursday, so Pitt probably wins that. Always take Pitt.
No, always take Pitt if nobody else thinks Pitt's going to win.
I don't think anyone else.
If people think Pitt's going to win,
you don't take Pitt.
Take whoever Pitt plays.
Then they play school for my hometown, Mercer. I mean, they should probably kill Mercer. They're a middling FCS program.
I mean, you know, you and Mack Brown adopting the SEC scheduling.
And then at NC State.
I mean,
and on America's paper, number NC one vacation spot, Raleigh.
On paper, NC State should beat the shit out of UNC in year one of Mack Brown. But the one thing that's true about the UNC-NC State rivalry, and, you know, Mississippi-Mississippi State is a similar rivalry. If one team is looking like it might be moving in a good direction, that team will always... Like, these two programs only exist to make sure that neither one can ever be really good.
Yes.
Like, there's enough talent in the state of North Carolina where if only UNC existed or only NC State existed, they'd be a top-end national championship contending football team. But because they both exist, they're always just making sure the other one can't win more than nine games.
By the way, just looking back at Virginia Tech's schedule really quick, they don't have a monogram day. UNC has a lot of special days. It's kind of my point.
Because they can't get anybody to buy tickets, so they've got to always do some kind of, like, promotion.
Virginia Tech just has, like, of course they have a military thing.
Everybody has a military day.
But
we live in
Virginia Tech's like a military day or something. They also have, like, orange effect, white effects,
Here's a fun fact about UNC's football ticket sales. When I was in college, I would go to the UNC game more than I went to the NC State game for a very simple reason. I couldn't get NC State tickets as a student because it was a lottery. And, because there's so many people who want to go to NC State games, even when they're not that good, it's tough to get tickets. At UNC, all you had to do was show up with a student ID, even if you did not look anything remotely like the picture in the ID. I used women's. Like, I used girls' student IDs. I used an Asian guy's ID once. Like, they did not even look at the thing. They just was like, oh, it's a student ID. We need bodies in the stadium so this doesn't look embarrassing. You have got an ID. We're letting you in.
Well, something else to report really quick. Michigan State has no special days, which is a very Big Ten thing. Enjoy
football. Chances to play football are special.
Just wear, like, khakis day or something. Just everyone wear khakis. Does Tennessee have any special days? Nope. Tennessee doesn't need special days.
To be fair, nobody goes to Michigan State games either. So maybe they should.
You can't have fun watching football in the Big Ten. That's like a rule.
I mean, there's a lot of good reasons why Michigan let their former athletic director go, because he was doing a very bad job. But it's telling that the thing that really lost him a lot of fans is when he started letting people get married in the Michigan stadium for money. It's like, you're sullying the sacred ground that Michigan men have trod upon in their quest for glory.
Gerald Ford.
Dan Dierdorf. Shit himself standing right here.
No other team. I'll tell you what. No other. I guarantee we're going to do this every week now. When I look at these schedules, no other team has as many special days as UNC. That's a guarantee for me.
Brother, I don't think there's a team in major college football that has worse attendance than UNC.
They're at least
who has
four
a stadium
or five.
That big?
Monogram Day! And it's homecoming! They can't even just do homecoming. They have to make it. And it's versus Duke, who technically is like, a rival. It still has to have Monogram Day on top of it.
But here's the thing about UNC football. It's about as popular at UNC as, like, Wake Forest football is at Wake Forest, or Duke football is at Duke. But the difference is, Duke has, like, a 37,000-seat stadium, and Wake Forest has, like, a 34,000-seat stadium. They both got really small football stadiums. So, when Duke's reasonably good, like they have been for the last 10 years, they can sell out their stadium pretty easily, and, they don't really have a lot of trouble filling it up because it's small. UNC, because they don't want to admit that there's one thing that NC State's better at than them. Like, NC State has a more popular football team. That doesn't mean they're necessarily good, but more people in the state of North Carolina care about NC State football than care about UNC football. But because NC State's football stadium holds 60,000 people, UNC had to make a football stadium that had 60,000 people because they could not admit that there's more demand for NC State football games than UNC.
And now
they cannot, and they have 30,000 empty seats every
Monogram Day. We gotta go. You know what? That might be our road trip. I gotta go to Monogram Day at Chapel Hill. Well, they just monogram my name on the inning. Like, what's going on there?
I mean, I might be able to hook you up with some Ram Club tickets. You can go sit in the booth and have chicken wings.
And it have a monogram koozie.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you about this. These five teams. Okay, four of these teams suck. Boise State, I think, is going to be pretty fun. Everyone else...
Boise State is legitimately good.
Yes. These other teams...
It's like, what the fuck are you even thinking
about? You know, and I can tell you right now, these, like, cause every year, I'll, especially this year, I'm going to have to, like, kind of rewatch a bunch of games. I would not rewatch a single Michigan State, Northwestern, Missouri, or Virginia Tech game. Maybe Virginia Tech.
Like, if Virginia Tech and Virginia, I could see that game ending in a fight.
Or maybe Virginia Tech, like, I don't think they play, maybe they have, like, a game that's really fun. I don't think they play Clemson, but still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll tell you what, not looking good for college football.
Well, it's not looking good for the prognostication skills of the AP Top 25.
Nah. But yeah,
the bottom, you know, these first five teams, really shitty.
Do we want to preview? Do we want to look at who we're looking at next week?
Yeah, well, okay. You know, let's go ahead and name
it. Next week is some big names here. Nebraska, UCF, Iowa, Auburn, and Wisconsin. Yeah.
So we're going to be talking a lot about the Big Ten West next week.
Tell you what, these are all teams I want to talk about. Nebraska's fascinating. UCF is one of the funnest teams to watch in college football. Iowa, okay. Auburn could be better. Auburn's going to have the weirdest season. Auburn will definitely have one of the weirder years in college football. And Wisconsin, can they bounce back? I'm fascinating next week. It's a fun preview.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all this. And then plus we'll come up with our two unranked teams.
Yeah. I got to figure out who's not ranked. Maybe, you know what, I'm going to say, my mind's probably going to be Georgia Tech. I'm kind of interested in that.
Yeah. I'll, you know, I might talk about Wazoo.
Yeah. Our boy. Like
the absolute boy.
Before we leave, did you see the Mike Leach story when he was sports information director at bumfuck Midwestern school in Iowa? No. He got the team because he was really, it was in the 90s, so it's like when you had to like mail a press release to people. But he worked his magic and got the school with USA Today three times. And it's like Northern Idaho or Iowa something. I think it was Idaho. No, it was Iowa.
No, they were Iowa Wesleyan.
Yeah, Iowa Wesleyan. School. And he got them in USA Today three times, and the president flipped her shit. Because she didn't like it. She was like, you need to just mail the box score to the newspapers every Monday. And he's like, that doesn't make any sense, because by Wednesday, who gives a shit what the score was? What is this?
Yeah, that's a... that. If you get a chance to read that book that was written about... It was mainly focused on Hal Mumme, but it was like the origin of the air raid offense, like tracing like him and Mike Leach.
No, they talk about how Mike Leach called it the air... I don't know if he... the one who
really came up with the name to market it.
Yeah, and that was part of, like, why they were in USA Today and all this fun stuff. And the president or AD or whatever did not like it whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, that's a running theme with Hal Mumme's career, is, like, running into play, like, because Hal Mumme never, because Kentucky ended badly for him, he never really was able to get, another great head coaching job. And Hal Mumme in that book mentions the biggest mistake he made was after Kentucky, he took the New Mexico State job. Because he just thought, well, I've won at all kinds of shitty places. I can win here. And it turned out New Mexico State is the single most hope. Like, no, you can't win there. That's the one place where
it's not even the cool New Mexico team who's not good either.
I mean, the quote Hal Mumme had in that book was, I didn't know this until after I'd already taken the job, but there's more elk than people in the state of New Mexico.
But University of New Mexico, like, will make a bowl every so often.
Yeah, New Mexico, University of New Mexico has had some really good teams.
But they actually
have... Erlacher.
Yeah, and they have a good, like, for what it is, like, a good athletic program. Like, their basketball team's pretty popular.
Their basketball's pretty consistently good, yeah.
And they're, I think they're in Albuquerque, which is, like, the biggest city in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So I think that helps a lot.
And New Mexico State is in Las Cruces, so it's basically El Paso.
Yeah.
And it's just, Everything about that program suggests they should not have a football team.
You just shouldn't exist. Because you're probably just hurting New Mexico.
And that seems to be the only reason they exist, is so that alumni of New Mexico State can hurt New Mexico by drawing a couple of football and basketball players
a couple of one-stars away. We're going to kill their special teams depth.
Yeah, and then after, so he has this stain on his record from, you know, recruiting violations at Kentucky. He fails at New Mexico State, and basically he has to go back to coaching at small private schools. And he kept running into the same problems at every private school that he had at Iowa Wesleyan, which was basically he would start showing signs of going somewhere, and then the administration would basically say, we don't want this.
We can't have this.
We just don't want to be a football school. I was like, well, why the fuck did you hire, you know, you keep coming back to, like, why are you hiring Hal Mumme and then deciding you don't want to have a football team?
No. There you go.
But he runs into that a lot, you know.
Hire Hal Mumme.
In a lot of different places.
He's better than Art Briles. I mean, not as a coach, but probably as a person. Maybe.
I mean, it's kind of weird to me that Mike Leach has never hired him for something.
Hmm.
Maybe there were some hard feelings there.
Or maybe it'd be insulting.
I mean, at some points, I think Hal Mumme's had some points where it's like, ooh, you know, he just needs a job. Like,
he missed his.
But Hal Mumme's son is the offensive coordinator in Nevada.
And that's what the movie The Mumme, starring Tom Cruise, is based off of.
It sure as hell wasn't about a mummy, so...
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Because I stan Brendan Fraser. I refuse.
Oh, did you see the big news that we're getting a Doom Patrol Season 2?
There you go.
It's going to be on HBO Go, too.
Let's talk this really quick. Let's talk a little... Oh, really? It's going to be an HBO? The HBO thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be on the HBO Go app. I mean, basically, what it sounds like is they're going to phase out the DC
app and just
fold it into HBO Go.
But much more importantly, we're getting Blade.
I mean,
have any really good
remakes of 90s movies, of 90s comic book movies, have any of them worked? Because Hellboy's, you know, shit the bed.
That was 2000s, though. I think Blade will work, because A, it's Marvel, and B, you got a really good actor.
It's not Marvel, though, is it?
No, it is. It's part of the MCU.
Oh, it's going to be part of the MCU.
It was that.
Okay.
They're doing the Eternals, which no one knows what that is still, even though it comes out in like a year.
Some movie just for China.
Yeah. And then a lot of stuff on the TV stuff. They're going all in on the Disney Plus thing, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if the Loki thing isn't popular, then that app is fucked.
No, that app's...
I mean, if that Loki thing doesn't sell subscriptions as popular as that character is, and the fact that that's going to be on, like, an app instead of on a network television, you know, they're going to... I mean, literally, that guy has been a star of multiple billion-dollar movies. And he's going to be on a TV show on an app. That's what I cannot wrap my head around.
Well?
Like, I can almost understand that, like, the Scarlet Witch TV show. Because it's she's kind of lucky to have been in these movies.
Yes.
Like, she was never a major character.
The Sam Wilson Winter Soldier show.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you guys were, like, the background characters behind Captain America. Fucking Loki headlined the first Avengers movie as the villain.
But that Disney Plus thing will probably... Because there's also, a Star Wars series coming. And the entire Disney vault. That's probably the bigger selling point to most of America.
Is it actually going to have the whole vault?
The whole vault.
Because I've heard different things that, like, they might hold shit back still.
They might hold... You're going to get the Lion King. Hold there.
Am I going to get the Great Mouse Detective?
Was that Disney?
Yeah.
No, it was Rescuers that was it. No.
Yeah, the Great Mouse Detective was right before they blew everything up.
What about Feigl Goes West?
That's Don Bluth.
That's and I think that was done by Paramount. But yeah, The Great Mouse Detective I think also was done, like, that was before Don Bluth left.
Will it have John?
It was the Black Cauldron. The Black Cauldron was the one where they completely blew up the whole way they did their animation.
But apparently, the Black Cauldron, though,
it's good. Everybody who's seen it says it's actually good.
And it has a ride at, like, Disneyland Tokyo that's, like, scary as shit.
Yeah, the movie's scary as shit, apparently. I mean, that's part of why it wasn't successful, from what I hear. Because, I mean, that was one of those where it's like that. I mean, The Great Mouse Detective, I saw a ton as a kid. The Black Cauldron, like, that's one where they tried to pretend it just never happened.
What,
like,
about they, John? Will John Carter be on there?
I mean, I feel like that's Princess the only way they're ever going to get their. Like, I feel like that's the only way they're ever going to get their money back on that is just curiosity views.
Wasn't he called, like, the Princess? This...
No.
I thought it was John Carter, the Princess of Mars or something weird.
No, it was John Carter of Mars.
Oh. I thought he was the Princess, though.
No, it's just of Mars.
We'll have to check that movie. I think it's on Netflix.
It was written by the same guy. It was the books, or the, I think they were actually comic strips, like back in the newspaper.
Like the Phantom.
But it was, it was that same era of, like, newspaper strip comics. It was written by the same guy who created Tarzan. So it was like, you know, Tarzan is a man raised by animals, like, trying to fit back in with human society. And so John Carter is a man transported to this whole alien world who has to then fit into that society. It's basically the same story, except, you know, one is quasi-racist and the other one is a little bit less quasi-racist.
And that's John Carter.
Yeah, John Carter.
Coach.
The Phantom is super racist. Because it's like, oh, if a white guy washed up on an African island, they just make him king because he's white.
Of course.
It's basically like, what if Black Panther, like, what if the main character in the Black
Panther...
What
if they made Martin Freeman Black Panther?
Yeah. Freeman was the Black Panther?
Which is what, like, they should have done.
All of Wakanda... just looked at him and was like, oh, well, you are noble, so we're going to make you, you know, clearly you are more noble than any of us lowly creatures.
That's what Disney should have done. If they had any balls. They weren't so PC. Black Panther.
I'm super excited about all these people who think, like, Disney's, like, oh, Disney's too PC, and it's like every movie they make comes out and makes more money than Jesus.
No, I think the Disney. I have a conspiracy on this before we get out of here. I think, like, the Ariel backlash. I think that was some marketing firm that Disney hired to drum that up. I'm not saying there are people who really believe that, but I think they started the fire.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Yeah, because, like, they saw, like, hey, look what Black Panther did. Look what,
yeah, I think they're trying to recreate Black Panther.
Or they saw what happened with Nike. Said, hey,
yeah,
Nike. Controversy creates cat. They read Eric Bischoff's book, and they're like, controversy does create cash.
Also, all of these remakes are shitty and stupid and shouldn't exist.
I enjoyed Aladdin. Lion King was
why don't you just make a new story and then put a black person in?
I don't know.
That's why people liked Black Panther, because it was
a new property.
I never like it when comic books, like, remake a character and change the race or the gender.
Yeah.
Because it's like, with most of these comic book characters, with the exception of a few, like Green Lantern, you can always make a new Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Because, like, Green Lantern is a giant, you know, space police force.
Yeah.
There's always room to add some new guy.
Yeah.
You know, and the Flash, there's been a bunch of Flashes. So, like, if you added a new Flash and he was a black guy, fine. But, like, for the most part, whenever you create, like, ooh, this guy's the new Spider-Man, nobody ever gives a shit.
But people like Miles Morales. I disagree.
They don't, really. That movie didn't do well. I mean, it didn't do that well.
But I think the fans like him.
He's done better than Ben Reilly did. like the last time they tried to replace Peter Parker, and then everyone was like, "This is the worst shit."
It's clone who moved but to San Francisco.
You know, like when you know somebody else was Wonder Woman in the '80s. Can you remember her name?
No, I didn't know that happened. Other people have been Batman. That's been like okay,
and nobody, and it never takes.
I think they people tried Dick Grayson as Batman.
They tried to, and it fucking bombed, and so they undid their entire continuity to make Bruce Wayne Batman again. Like they undid this huge storyline about Bruce Wayne being dead, just to undo Dick Grayson being Batman.
But really, really quick though, I didn't hate the Lion King remake. I thought it was unnecessary, but the animation looked really cool. And you know what? The Billy on the Street guy, Seth Rogen, were very good. The two white guys in it, at least.
But you know, I just think in general, you're better off if you're a giant corporation who has kind of marketing.
Aladdin was
making a new thing that
There wasn't a single white person in Aladdin, except Jasmine's friend.
I didn't see it.
See, you should. It's this tale about a about Arab people. I don't think they're gonna just whitewash it.
I mean, Scarlett Johansson would say, I'm an actress, I can play anything.
I agree with her on that, but I also think, trans women can play, cisgendered women or whatever the fuck you're supposed to, real women. Like, I have no issue with that either. That's my thing on that. Like, yeah, a woman...
I thought the one she got in more trouble for was playing an Asian person with her eyes pulled back.
Like
and
Mickey
then
Rudy.
They killed that, and then that movie...
And she had the teeth... Like her bully Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, she was gonna. Oh, hello! I am
Long Duck Dong Akira, Long Duck Akira, whatever that was. Ghost in the Shell.
And then Ghost in the Shell, and so they just canceled it once Scarlett Johansson pulled out.
Speaking of that, female Thor,
which has been in the comics for a long time.
And people like that, so.
Well. The issue with Thor is that nobody has ever given a shit about Thor until these Avengers movies.
it was literally just because of Chris Hemsworth and Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
He's going to play Hitler.
Well, no, even before... I mean, before that, the Thor movies that led up to Avengers.
Yeah.
And then all of Thor in the Avengers, even though the other, the second Thor standalone movie obviously did very poorly. But people cared about Thor because of these movies. Mm. Like, until Hemsworth played Thor, not one person has ever given a shit about the Thor character.
No.
There was an attempt to make a TV show around him that was like a spinoff of The Incredible Hulk. It died a dog's death. It was the least popular of the cartoons in the 60s. You know, when the Marvel cartoons were super popular, like Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and The Incredible Hulk. And Iron Man, even Iron Man was way more popular than Thor. Nobody gave a shit about Thor.
Have you ever seen the 60s Marvel cartoon where they just copied, literally Xerox the comic book pages?
No, I've not seen that.
Okay, I'll find the YouTube thing and try to send it. It looks awful.
As a kid, I always thought it was so janky that, the Spider-Man, Spider-Man has the lines on his costume, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to look like web. In the cartoon, they were so cheap, they wouldn't draw them. So he would just, be, smooth red, except in, one scene in the opening. but he would have the web, the mask would be webbed, but, his chest part would be just solid red, because they just couldn't be bugged to draw it.
By the way, did you see who's playing female Thor?
Well, Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Obviously. She's been playing that character for a while now.
Yeah. She's back.
She had her baby, didn't she?
Oh, then Fantastic Four apparently is going to happen. There you go.
Well, that's the more important news, is that, we're finally getting a Fantastic Four movie.
We're going to figure this out. And how we're going to make Reed Richards a trans woman. All right, thank you, everybody.
I just think make Johnny Storm and Sue Storm black. That's where the Fox one fucked up, because it's these are a brother and sister's character, and we're going to make the brother black and the sister white.
You can't have a black lady. What about, since we only know of like two black actors, what about just Idris Elba as Mr. Fantastic? I mean, I know he already played, he's in the Thor movies, but like, who cares?
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Do we have to go by that rule? I don't know any other black
actors. Yeah, Disney's pretty hard about that. Yeah.
They didn't
care. They've already done Michael B. Jordan.
But they did, what's the guy who's playing Blade? The guy from Moonlight or whatever?
Yeah.
I want to say Mustafa Ali, but that's a wrestler.
I always want to say, Alcee Nomanura, so we've all got our fuck-ups.
Yeah. He was in the Luke Cage show as Cottonmouth. But Marvel's basically said, we don't count any of this Netflix shit as canon. Because these superheroes fucking suck. They can't even defend a neighborhood properly. So, but yeah, I think that's the show. So next week,
alrighty.
More football takes.
And on that note, I've got a runny nose, and let's play the music, Jason.